I was trying to explain something. She was getting my point. I was telling about how cooling happens, evaporation happens, and condensation happens. And she was looking at me like, what are you talking about? And she now said that that's why I didn't do physics. I said, no, that's not why you did not do physics. This is because you didn't do physics is why you don't know it. Do you follow my point? She now said, well, it's the same thing. I said, it's not the same thing. I said, this is a problem with a lot of people when it comes to sciences. So I said to her, it's the reason why a lot of people don't understand science is because they don't realize it's life. And that those who really did physics and chemistry properly, they knew it was life. I remember then when we were in secondary school, we would go home and test what we're taught in school. We would put Abbott or Nelcon and Packard down and join wires according to what is written inside the book, and it will function. I made an electric bell. Nobody helped. I'm telling you, I made an electric bell around the age of 12, 13. I'm serious about that. Age of 12. It just said it's metal. We turned the metal. Wind. It didn't work. One time it didn't work. I didn't hang it on the wall. But if we held it, it used to ring. Wind the copper. Wind the copper. Join here. Yeah. Touch them. It worked. So for us, it was life. Are you getting my point? Now, for most people, physics will be difficult because they think it's just about memorizing diagrams. You get what I'm saying? Now, this is what I'm going to. We carry that habit in school into the Word of God also. That's where I'm going. So church is theory. That's why men go to church and they don't listen. They are waiting for when the pastor will start declaring. I told you before, the Word of God has different segments. If you were here, or if you were not here, listen to the message. It was a Tuesday. For those of us who were here, you remember when I talked about blessing for the blessed man. If I shout now, it shall be well with you. There are satellites broadcasting every day. DSTV is broadcasting. Is it true that it shall be well with you has powerful signals? Yes! But will you receive it if you don't have the decoder? No! Even though you receive it, you don't pay your subscription, what happens on your TV? You are not authorized to view this channel or your account has been suspended. Many people without decoders, without subscriptions, they go to where broadcast is coming forth. It shall be well. Amen. It shall be well. Amen. And it is not well with them. Not because the prophet is telling lies, but because they don't have the parts complete. That's what I'm saying. I said the Word of God comes in different segments. There are people, listen, as an example, I teach. All right? Maybe they've listened to me teach. As an example, the reason to teach us, their lives have been transformed by the word for maybe 2, 3, 4 years. And God says, it's time for breakthrough. He said, but there's one key I need to add that Banky does not give. I don't know whether I get the point. And that's okay. Go and listen to, as an example, Sunday Adelaja. Then you spend 2 weeks in the school of financial empowerment. The following week, bam, doors open. This is why, how ignorant people talk. They say, only 2 weeks. God say, yeah. Oh boy, it was 5 years and 2 weeks. That is, you were not able to receive these 2 weeks. Were it not that your previous 5 years were intact? Like I was here, I was sharing this with, was it today or yesterday? That I was explaining the fact that sometimes people say that if I knew then what I know now, gist, you could not know then what you know now because you require the last 10 years to develop the capacity to know what you know now. You hear it said all the time, people say that, when I came to a new good land, here was 10,000 naira. Now it's 15 million. I said, there is land going for 10,000 naira now. That will be 15 million in 10 years' time. When my father moved down to maybe Ibadan, he carried those days, he too had land that was going for one shilling that became 10,000 naira later. And as that time, there was land going for 10,000 naira, which is now 10 million naira. Did I buy? No.
The word of God has different parts. That's why I keep on saying, I've heard preachers say it all the time, say, those days, we did not know. I heard a man say, one day I used to preach a very long gospel. Now I preach only 45 minutes and the church is growing. And when I hear it, it pains me. It pains me. Why the man doesn't understand or does not realize, okay, that the reason why 45 minutes message today can bring a church of 10,000 people was because 1.5 hour message, 10 hour messages those days brought only 20 people. If any confused young man follows you only from your 45 minute message days, he's in trouble. Why? Because the word of God has many parts. Like we said, in the matter of balance, you take hold of one and you don't let go of the other. People tell me that if we knew then, you couldn't have known then why you misbehave. You couldn't have known. That's why Solomon, after considering and considering and considering, he said, this is the summary of it. Fear God, obey his commandments. He said, to the making of books, there is no end. Ah, those of you know well, I'm a doctor, you know. Apart from being a doctor, I'm a specialist and I teach. I'm in the academic sector, so I read. And I have not seen more confusion in life as I see in science. I hope I don't sound too harsh. Only a moron will tell me there's no God. Because you see total confusion. Science will tell you, if you drink too much water, there's trouble. Then you pick the next journal and say, if you don't drink enough water, wahala day. Then the third journal will tell you the difference between trouble and wahala. The fourth journal will reconcile the similarity between trouble and wahala. Then the other one now said that it depends on how the water comes. Is this steam or ice? Then one will say, did you harvest it from the roof or from under the ground? They will go on and on and on and on and on. But the word of God has only said one thing. Your bread will be given you, your water will be sure. That's all this confusion. Solomon said, it is in the realm of the making of books, there is no end. Are you getting my point? That is, there's so much confusion in life. There's no safety in all of them. They keep writing, do like this today. If you do like this, you will prosper. If you don't do like this, you won't prosper. Oh, that one I gist. The truth is that you need the word of God. Let me use the word. Gathered, arranged, stitched properly into your heart. Once the whole thing is formed. Once the whole thing is formed. All other things are added to you. Do you know the other day I was thinking? You know why I was saying all the things I said is that people now start writing principles on how to drink water and succeed and how not to drink water and succeed. Not knowing that one man's meat is another man's poison. Is another man's poison. People don't realize that it's only in the word. Oh God, when God enters you, when his word enters you, he leads you into where you will succeed. You know, the other day, you know, one young man came and made a mistake. He said, I should help him review a book. I told him I didn't know him, so I liked his spirit. You know, I like when young people are, you know, trying to do something. You know, I like it when young men are walking, you know. So the young man said he was writing. And because he had listened to me a lot on radio, he said, I'd bless him so much. So he came that I should help him write a foreword to the book. So I explained to him I couldn't. That to him, to me, he's a stranger. So, I mean, it's not right. You know, you're not shorty for a stranger. It's not allowed. All right? So, he now gave me and I said, okay, I'll do you a favor. I will read the book. All right? I'll make corrections for you and I'll give it back to you. That I will do for you. So I did that. Except that when I read the book, I called him one day and said, who taught you this nonsense you wrote in here? I said, my friend, go and remove that thing. I'm going somewhere. Among the things he wrote, if you want to succeed in life, don't go to school. Because schools don't allow you to open your mind. Not this nonsense that people read from Robert Kiyosaki without knowing the balance in it. The men who have made it, they didn't read. The men who have... I said, oh boy, will you stop that rubbish? A And by the way, let me just tell you something quickly, so that Nigerians will know. They like to quote that Bill Gates and Michael Dell were dropouts. Please, Bill Gates is not your kind of dropout. When a Nigerian says somebody is a dropout, it means only one of two things. That means one of only two things, sorry. It means one of only two things. Either he so failed, they kicked him out, or he did not have money and he ran away. Bill Gates is none of the above. Michael Dell, none of the above. Both of these men had money to pay for their school and their tuition. They just had other things to do. And in both cases, they were not failing. They were busy. Are you getting my point? They were busy. Some of them were so busy. I think it was, I've forgotten which of them. Let me not one of these two I mentioned. Another guy. That by the time they opened, they hired their teacher. High school kids. When they opened their business, one of the people they hired in a short while later was their class teacher. So please, when you want to quote dropout, a Nigerian dropout who becomes a counselor in PDP in his local government is not like Bill Gates. You know, Nigeria, when you see layabouts, knockabouts, nothing going for anything, he now starts equating himself with Bill Gates that we are both dropouts, you're an idiot. Now, I need to set that straight. I am not saying a Nigerian dropout can succeed. Are you getting my point? I didn't say that. I am just saying that, after I just told stories about Sunday Adela Jazz Church, that people dropped out of school, life dropped them, you know, according to Gordon's, when God wanted to save them, he wore gloves. You know, it's not me. It's that comedian that said it. It's Gordon's that said that too. So, the reason why I said that. So, I just wanted to balance the issue of, let people know. So, the young man wrote the book and said all those things. If you want to succeed, don't go to school. You know me, I don't believe that school is a guarantee for anything. You know me. But I also say we do things because they are what? They are right. Education is good, amen? Nobody should tell me that the only way to succeed is to resign from school. Oh my God. I will beat you. So the young... Now, there's a reason why I'm saying so. What causes the confusion? Now, listen, R.J. Letourneau. There's this book some of us are reading right now, Mover of Men and Mountains. I read the story also. Okay? And the man also dropped out of school. That's the reason why I told that story. So people won't get hung up. Hey, drop out. Go and read the billionaires of this earth. Warren Buffett didn't drop out from anywhere. He has, I think, a PhD, but at least an MSc, a master's. And the principle he used to gather billions, he became the richest man in the world, all right, was learned in his a master's class from one of his professors. Do you get my point? Larry Ellison and Co., all right? Those guys, they went to school. So there's no... People who go to school, they make money. Those who not go to school, they make money. All of us, we meet at the judgment seat of Christ. That's what I'm going to explain. So don't go and write a book that men who want to do well in life, they run away from school. Now, why am I saying all of that? It's because people start following one line. Ajay Letourneau walked out of school. The man made it very, very well. If you see the circumstances under which he left school, it's very funny. In one class, he was not doing well. Then one day, he learned how to study. He jumped to the top of the class. Then they double promoted him. And he went to the bottom of the other class. So he all got frustrated and said, he's not going to school again. But he became a believer. Are you getting my point? And the Holy Spirit entered into him. That's when I'm back to my main message. All right? And that produced success in him. People not knowing that, they start following that. At the age of 16, Letourneau left school. Then you walk out of school. And your part in his book does not say, don't go to school. Or after leaving school, are you getting my point? You don't realize that it is not lack of education that made Letourneau succeed. It is not his lack of education. It was his spirit that entered into him. Are you getting my point? That was what set him on his feet. What am I explaining? There are different circumstances in life. You get the point? There are different. circumstances that play out. That's what I want to say. When the word has entered into you, life tends to send us up and down, away from the main thing that will put us in charge in life. There's something I've said many times. I even wrote about it. Then I now saw a cartoon my children were watching, and one of the wise cartoon characters there told the other one, say, men often encounter their destiny on the path they choose to run away from it. Now, what am I going to explain all of these things? What we try to do, all right, sometimes, is that instead of settling down and focusing on what matters, a young woman will say, because I suffered as a young lady and my mother suffered, I will never marry a man who's not rich. You see what I'm saying? And like that wise man said, in trying to run away from that, you know what she will do? She will go and marry a man who is currently, who last week, last month, was PDP chairman's right-hand man. So he had a lot of money. So they did wedding. The following week, they finished primaries. They sacked the PDP chairman. But she's already married. She has married him. Then the poverty of her father she was running away from begins before the end of 2011. Young men do that also. That's why I tell people, listen to me. Listen. You know, I told you before, God never said, Christians, you enjoy suffering. You've heard me say it before. He never said, enjoy suffering. What he said you should do is what? Endure. If he said endure, he knows it is painful. God made pain fibers. People think that pain came as a result of the fall. It's not true. Before the fall, if Adam had caught himself, he for shout, ah, Eve, he, something did happen. Adam for shout. What am I saying? God made pain. Pain in your body. So, what he means is that he made the fibers so that when you feel it, you know to get away from it. I use that to emphasize the fact that God didn't call us to suffer. No, that's all. He didn't do that. But when suffering comes in the path of fulfilling our destinies, we endure it. That's what I'm saying. So, if you have a fear, are you getting my point? There's nothing wrong. It is not holiness and righteousness to say, me, I like poverty. Any man who likes poverty is mad. Did you hear what I said? If you see a man get up and say, why are you not getting up and going out to do your business and trying to make money or get a better job? He say, after all, what is a man looking for apart from this slice of bread? I already have it. He's sick. What people like me preach, you must understand what I preach. When I tell a man that, hey, you don't have to go to America to make it, I'm not saying the desire to succeed in life is alien to Christianity. I'm only saying that we don't follow material things as our source of success. That's why I'm going again. We know where to go. So if you have the fear of poverty, if failure is something that's scaring you, this is where I'm going to. Don't take worldly steps to stop it. That's what I'm saying. It is okay to be concerned about those things. What we do is that we now return to the word of God. It's in relating and imbibing with God, and imbibing the word of God, relating with the word of God, that is when we discover our own steps out of what we are afraid of. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. The young woman will not just say that, no. When they broke out, say, ah, Sister Angie, how far now? Can I see your pay slip? She won't start interviewing him. Do you have many responsibilities in your family? Do you have a car now? When do you graduate? How come you don't have a car till now? She done the check whether this guy go make money or you know go make money. That is called carnally minded. Are you getting my point? Carnally minded is not the fact that you bought makeup. There's one channel I see on TV, they make me laugh. Say, I now left all those things of the world. Your heart is still in the world. You are doing it because you didn't paint your face. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Carnal minded is that you look the guy first, check in CV, total in pay over the last 12 months, and then check the progression of promotion over the last 6 years. Your X curve and Y curve, when you balance them, man, the guy never, nothing for him. He said, bro, go pray again. That was why what that wise man, that cartoon said, that men often encounter their destinies on the path that they are taking to run away from it. That girl will meet it in front. What should she do? I've thought about this several times. What she would do is to kneel down and say to God sincerely, Baba God, I won't lie to you. I don't want to suffer. And God will say, I didn't create you for suffering too. It's the devil. It's not me. It's the devil. He said, Lord, what do I need to do so that I will not suffer? He said, follow me and I will make you. Then she starts following. Are you getting my point? And following is, oh God. Let me say something to you. This year, it's good to rise up and pray. Amen? But rise up and study. You've been rising up and praying for the last 3 years. No, be so. This year, rise up and study. Take your Bible. Start from Genesis. Aye, God. Start reading. Not reading. You know, there's this quiet time you learned as a child. That's not the one I'm talking about. This is that you have prayed. Are you getting my point? And you have heard that there's a path that God made before you were made. And you want that path to come down from the heavens onto the earth. And that path is encoded in words. No, I've said this several times today. That path is encoded in what? In words. And those words have been fragmented by God and they are dropping in pieces here and there. So your job, we're back to Proverbs chapter 2, is to seek for her as men seek for money. You can't. Listen, let me tell you something. I found out one thing about God, eh? The way he has designed us. He doesn't remove the troubles in the world first. He makes us in such a manner that if we are not floating by the power of his spirit, we will always go under. Listen, the world is not going to become so friendly to you so that they will lift you up. No, it's the power of the spirit that will keep you afloat. So what God says to that young woman or that young man is simple, okay? It's simple. Read your Bible. Pray. Hear messages. Get the word. When the word enters into you, you will marry a man that's very poor. Your very presence imparts prosperity into him. I have discovered that God is very kind to everybody. We say in Africa, if we don't eat yam because of oil, we eat oil because of yam. Have you heard that thing before? What God says is that if I don't make sister A marry sister B, so that if I don't make sister A marry brother B, so that she can become rich, I will make her marry him so that he can become rich. I don't know what I hear what I said. It's a story I've told several times before. I read in Reader's Digest. A woman stood one day, a very rich man stopped at a filling station to buy fuel. While doing that, he walked into the supermarket there to buy some things. On his way back, he saw his wife chatting with the attendant. So later on, he said, you know that guy? I said, I knew him. He was my friend when we were in secondary school those days. The guy wanted to marry me, but you know the way things turned out. So the guy looked at her and said, God save you. You will have been the wife of a filling station attendant. The woman said, "I lie. If I admired him, he would have been a rich man. You would have been in one filling station somewhere, dispensing fuel." That is, I brought prosperity into your life. I know when you married me, I didn't look like it. But believe me, when God wanted to bless you, he looked for an excuse. He said, now that he's the husband to my beloved daughter, so that she will never suffer, I must make this moron rich. You are getting what I'm saying? You understand the principle? Why? That's how life is. So, because the lady went in, drank of the spirit. Are you getting my point? And that is causing her to float. So the wise man who held onto her hand floated with her. That's life. Your path is written. It's encoded in what? Words. Your job is not to go out looking for a good job. Hey, how do I say this? When you have become something, good jobs will wait until you come. I told you, I've read all kinds of books. 72 Habits of Highly Effective People. I like what Lotono said in that book. He said, I had one good luck on my side. I didn't know how to plan. That if I had known how to plan, I would never have invented some of the machines I invented. They did not make economic sense. But because I did not understand the principles of arranging, plotting, how money is coming, how money will be dispensed, once I saw some money, I just invented the next machine and used all my money to build it. That if I had sense, thank God I did not have sense. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's why I said that you can read all kinds of principles. So the writing of books, there is no end. So when you are saying, when you are hearing, learn the principles of this, learn them because they are good. Are you getting my point? Don't guarantee nothing. They don't. That book I told you about at the beginning, Money Won't Make You Rich. Beautiful book. I'm enjoying it. I'm reading it. If you see, I'm reading and writing and reading and writing on it. Because I told my wife when I finish, it's your turn. It will be your turn. You read both the book and the things I wrote in it, you know. It's a very nice book. But after reading it, I said, bro, if you think you can just take those principles like that, remove it from the anointing upon the words, remove it from the anointing upon the man, remove it from the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and succeed. All right. God will use you as an example of how all flesh is grass and the goodliness thereof are like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of God upon it. You get what I'm saying? I think I've finished my message for today. Let me summarize it and we leave here. Your path is recorded in what? Words. As words. Then heaven, God recorded them as words. There's nothing you can wish for or pray about that's not recorded before you began to desire it. The Bible says it's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, far above all you can ever ask or begin to even conceive. So that one is for sure. No human being has a capacity to think better for himself or herself than God has. No. You don't have the... It's not in you. It's not in you. You don't have it. You don't have it. You don't have it. You don't. So whatever you are dreaming, whatever good you are dreaming for yourself, God planned it before you began to dream it. He did. Do you understand what I'm saying? So that one that he planned, that I said is recorded inside his book, it is your job to start reaching out for it. And like we said, don't forget Proverbs chapter 2. That's where I am right now. That's the main thrust of this whole thing. We'll go into the practicals of it later on. All right? He said, you seek for her as men seek for money. That's what I'm saying. You look for it like it is hidden. And as a matter of fact, God hides things. He does. He does. The Bible says he has hidden them for the upright. Now, the reason why he hides them, well, I don't know for sure, but one thing is that he has to demonstrate that you really want it. That's it. God doesn't give to you what you don't value. He said, don't cast your pearls before swine. So, if you understand the power in his word, my brother, my sister, that's where you spend your energy. That's where you are going to spend your energy. I'm coming to a point that is in these teachings to let people understand this. All right? That if men, you know, a friend of mine called me the other day, was telling me about plans they were making for his brother and all of that. He was telling me fees, school fees, you know, school fees, undergraduate, tuition, 600,000 naira a year in this our country. Man, that's private university. If they go to a school nearby in a country like Ghana, $11,000 per annum. Yeah. The Nigerians have money. They say when you get a Nigerian food, your schools where? Now let's even leave undergraduate. Postgraduate. To go to Lagos Business School. You know how much people spend? What's their tuition now? Should be like 2 point something or 3 million. How much? 2 million. To get an MBA. To get an MBA. You know, I can. If you can be an accountant, I can, you know. They say it like that. I don't know about now, those days. When you see what people do to pass ICAN, in ICAN, enough you cheat. You can't bribe the lecturer. You don't know anybody. So the only thing you can do is what? Read. You get one place for Sulere, near Western Avenue there, at a school there. People will leave their homes and camp there. Early in the morning, men and women included, they will sneak out of classroom early in the morning to go and quickly have a bath behind the classroom and come back and continue reading. Why? Because they want to be chartered as accountants. Not because they love accounting. Some of them have BSc in chemistry. Some, no, I'm telling you, science. Some have BA in history. Some have journalism. That is as far from accounting as is possible. But their own is that once I chatter, like they say, or more, when I chatter like this, I chatter like glass or something. He said, once I chatter, they know, say, job. Faith in that qualification. They don't give a damn about accounting. My wife did an MBA in this executive MBA they do here. In her class are all kinds of people. I don't think, most of them don't care about their learning. Just give me the paper. Why? I have to get promotion. I have to apply for another job. In that next job, I have to show them my new qualifications. What am I saying? That's how men seek for silver. That's what I'm explaining. That's how they do it. If indeed we know that our destinies, our path, all right? That part is recorded, your own part in the word. I dare to say, you will also run away from your house to one corner in Western Avenue and rush out in the morning to have a bath. In Harmattan, when it is cold, you won't go home. You know the interesting part? I've done things similar to that. I have. I'm not joking. It sounds funny. Now just think about it now. I've done things similar to that. I remember when we used to go for school of ministry in Winners those days. That's like, it's something like that. We'll sit down, there's nowhere. Couldn't go on break. I remember when I would go for that. You know, there's a story about Ron Kennelly that I tell all the time. I heard it from his mouth direct when he came to Victory Christian Center in Lagos those days. I was JJC in Lagos. Go that distance. You couldn't go home for break or anything. Just a loiter around, look for where you sit down and put your head against the wall to take a nap. And hear preaching morning, afternoon, and night. And start coming back home at 11 p.m. I did a few things like that those days. I think Christians should do it. We love to pray all night. Like I said, most of the prayer is what? Prayer of ignorance, laziness, idleness. The prayer of joblessness, prayer of confusion, prayer of what else shall we do? We have tried every other thing. This is the only thing left. All kinds of prayers. But tell men, and this is what I have found out to be the most serious challenge that Christians have today. Tell them, guys, we have prayed enough. Settle down. Let's discover what the Lord is saying. That is where we have a problem. After listening to two messages, we think God should give us a certificate. I sat down and listened to you for 2 hours. God, you supposed bless me. Let me tell you the truth. The other day, my wife and I were talking about fasting again. Somebody sent an email and said, Pastor Bang does not believe in fasting. He said, you are the only man of God I've seen that doesn't see the necessity in fasting. Explain. Lanka, did I say that? What I said is hunger and fasting are two entirely different things. A lot of Christians is part of idolatry. You know, it's, you know, drawn down from the days of penance. You want to suffer for God. You know what I mean by suffer for God? God, this is my stomach that's perforating because of you. You must bless me. And I explained to my wife that it doesn't work like that. You know how it works? The time of fasting is not a time of hunger. It's a time of quietness and concentration. Until, listen to me, you get a word from above. Where I differ from most people is that if while concentrating, hunger is a distraction, I shall use a slice of bread and a cup of tea to remove the distraction and continue praying. That's where I differ. That is where I differ. That's where I differ. I don't understand men saying they are fast, they get up and run around their business, meeting one client after the other. Do you get my point? At the end of the day, what's happening? Say, I'm fasting. Why? Because you are hungry. You ain't fasting. You're busy. You are doing business. That's not fasting. That's business. That's business on an empty stomach. That's what you are doing. What I'm trying to say is that what we need as believers is time to concentrate. You will tell yourself, the beginning of this year, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not leaving my house till 10 in the morning. Let's assume I work for somebody. But if it's my business, I can close 2 weeks down. Guys saying I'm not coming. What you guys can't manage, let it not be managed. I wake up early in the morning, I bring out a tape. I like that little device I just bought for my wife. Loaded hundreds of hours of messages on it. It has a capacity. Just press play. Listen to one first thing in the morning. Then when you put it off, you bring out a book or you bring out your Bible, read a line and begin to pray. And say, Father, I know that there's a part that I have with you. I need revelation. He said, the righteousness of thy testimonies, they are everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Say, Lord, give me understanding. Listen, you do that for 1 month. When you come out, your business will face a different direction that may not make sense to other people. But you are walking by understanding, by revelation. That's what Christians use. When you are finished succeeding, they will now start writing a book about you too. This is how business is done. Then the next set of moguls will follow them. Not knowing that the main thing, I told you that when people are writing books, there are things they don't see. They will not write those your early morning time. They won't write it. They didn't see it. You were doing it alone in the house. You need to fast this year, amen? The difference between fasting and hunger, as far as Pastor Banky is concerned. I hope you got my point. I hope you've gotten my point. I'll continue to build it up from here next time. Let us pray. Let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Father, we thank you.